Please be seated. I want to welcome everyone to the service of worship this morning, and remember at the conclusion of the service to turn around to people around you, say hello to them, welcome them, and invite them down to tea and coffee and for a time of fellowship. The weather was wonderful for Margot's nephew's wedding last weekend, and all went well, including the bride being fashionably late. So thank you for last weekend off. Yes, we got a chance to listen to the wonderful music by a flute and a violinist, so that was cool. There are lots of great announcements in the bulletin, so please look them over. There's a cruising meeting after church today. It's in the Brecken Room. There's the dementia workshop at the Burlington East Presbyterian Church on Walker's Line at 2. And Thursday evening is the first of a compassionate justice speaker series at Port Nelson United Church. And this week, the Canadian Research Chair in Global Migration will be speaking on the Canadian perspective on refugee issues. So there's lots there and lots going on. Please look in my own announcements about regarding a book study on Canada's founding myths and how they impact us as a country. The sign-up sheet is on my door. I think it's good background thinking as we head into a federal election. And also, Appleby needs some smiling faces. Can you all do that? I make the leaders at Vacation Bible Camp do this in the summertime. Are you ready? Do a few cheek exercises. Come on, everyone. Few cheek exercises today. Stretch those muscles a little. Okay, thank you very much. That's to get your smiling muscles all ready to go, okay? So remember to smile on the way out today, and we need some smiling faces at the Appleby Line Street Festival next week to extend a hand to say, hi, I'm from Appleby United Church. It's great to meet you today. So it's a really easy thing to do. It will be a busy day because Donna Ben's funeral is also here at 1:30, so we kind of need people at both places. So please let me know if you can be out shaking hands and smiling. Thank you. Are there any other announcements, celebrations, or concerns for the church family this morning? Through the lighting of the Christ candle, we remember Jesus' presence in our midst. Through the lighting of the Christ candle, we open ourselves to the love and grace of God that we celebrate in worship. It's Cosmos Sunday today, and partway through the Acknowledging God's Presence this morning, the images of the universe are from NASA's website. We have gathered in the presence of God, creator of all things. Let us celebrate the cosmos that God has made and of which we are a part. Thank you. The universe that God has made is absolutely amazing. Come, let us worship the God of the cosmos. Let us pray. Great galaxies and tiny insects, giant gum trees and redwoods and tiny plants growing in tundra and desert, a speck of sand and planets beyond our comprehension, all of this is the stuff of your making, O God. In the context of all you have made, and yet you care for us. You love each of us as if we were your favorite. Help us to acknowledge you in the world around us, to celebrate your presence, and to honor you in all we do. Amen. Our next hymn is number 225 in the hardcover Voices United. We praise you for the Son. 225.
We praise you for the sun, the golden shining sun that gives us healing, strength, and joy. We praise you for the sun. We praise you for the rain, the softly falling rain that gives us healing.
Please be seated. Let's take a time of reflection and saying, I'm sorry, let us pray. We try to limit you, O God. We claim you are male and human, and that you look like us and think like us. Forgive us. Sometimes we limit your creation. Not wanting to think beyond ourselves or our own circles. We challenge beliefs that threaten us, not wanting to accept worlds beyond our own and life in other forms. Yet you are the cosmic one, creator of all beyond our imagination. Help us to set free our understanding, that we might experience you as the cosmic being that you are. Take a moment to reflect on the mystery, wonder, and awe of God's good universe. Amen. The assurance of God's never-ending love. Scripture tells us that Jesus Christ is the way we see God. We can look at the Christ and see God's original design and purpose in all things. In Christ, all the broken and dislocated pieces of all creation, people and things, atoms and atoms, get properly fixed and fit together in wondrous harmony. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Good morning. Excuse this voice of mine. I have a visiting frog, and he's overstaying his welcome. Today's stories are of the people of Israel in praise of wisdom. It's found in Proverbs chapter 8, verses 22 to 31, and in the Good News Bible on page 701 in the Old Testament. The Lord created me first of all, the first of his works, long ago. I was made in the very beginning, at the first, before the world began. I was born before the oceans, when there were no springs of water. I was born before the mountains, before the hills were set in place, before God made the earth and its fields, or even the first handful of soil. I was there when he set the sky in place, when he stretched the horizon across the ocean, when he placed the clouds in the sky, when he opened the springs of the ocean and ordered the waters of the sea to rise no further than he said. I was there when he laid the earth's foundations. I was beside him like an architect. I was his daily source of joy, always happy in his presence, happy with the world, and pleased with the human race. Thanks be to God for the reading.
As I read the next two lessons, first of all, stories from the early church, Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 to 20, the person and work of Christ, and then John's Gospel, the first five verses of that Gospel. It's entitled The Word of Life. Try and notice how similar some of it sounds to what you just read in Proverbs about wisdom. Christ is the visible likeness of the invisible God. He is the firstborn Son, superior to all created things. For through him God created everything in heaven and on earth, the seen and the unseen things, including spiritual powers, lords, rulers, and authorities. God created the whole universe through him and for him. Christ existed before all things. In union with him, all things have their proper place. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the source of the body's life. He is the firstborn Son who was raised from death in order that he alone might have the first place in all things. For it was by God's own decision that the Son has in himself the full nature of God. Through the Son, then, God decided to bring back the whole universe to himself. God made peace through his Son's blood on the cross, and so he brought back to himself all things, both on earth and in heaven. And if you were to read further on in wisdom, you discover in Proverbs that it is said that the person who seeks wisdom seeks life, or gets life. And so that's also noted in John's Gospel. And remember, these are the first words of this Gospel. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. From the very beginning, the Word was with God. Through him, God made all things, and not one thing in all creation was made without him. The Word was the source of life, and this life brought light to the people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has never put it out. Thanks be to God for these words.
Day by day, sovereign Lord, three things I pray.
Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. How many of you enjoyed being outside this weekend? Anyone get a chance to be outside? Thank you. It was a little hot, but we got to soak it in. The long winter's coming. How many of you think we need to take better care of the earth? Anybody think we need to be? Thank you. We need to start taking it very seriously. I am Alan Warren, and today's message is saying thanks for creation. And thank you for coming. It's supposed to be really, really hot today. I don't know about you, but I noticed that humidity when I went out the door this morning. This morning, you will learn something about Greta Thunberg, the 16-year-old climate change activist from Sweden. You will learn about a third biblical story of creation and how it affected the early church's understanding of who Jesus was for them. And it's a story of creation that puts human beings in a more positive light that we need to regularly hold up and celebrate. Can I share a little bit of my story with you this morning? Thank you. Margo and I have been out to between Banff and Jasper and have driven that highway. It's beautiful, the mountains. I think part of it is it called the Glacier Parkway? I hope I have that name right. And there's a visitor center there, and then you can take the road out to be at the base of the glacier. And there was something that struck me there. The little signs by the side of the road, 1870, a little post, and learned at the visitor center that's where the glacier was in 1870. Then maybe 1890, 1900. And they're all fairly close together. And as you got closer to the face, guess what happened? Those signs became farther and farther apart until, because they weren't very big signs, you couldn't even see the next one. I was dismayed by that, and again reading an article this summer where the amount of ice melting in Greenland was incredible and the impacts for us. So this morning's question, you can think about it on your own or choose to talk to a neighbor. I like to hear the buzz. Do you or don't you believe in climate change, and why? Do you or don't you believe in climate change, and why? Go, find a neighbor, introduce yourself, say hello. Please stop. Thank you. It's a huge topic, and we can talk about it for quite a while. Today is Cosmos Sunday, and as I mentioned in my weekly email, a season of creation has been inserted into the September lectionary readings for optional use if you would like, to try and increase the profile of God's creation in the church year, and the reminder not only to celebrate it, but also to take care of it. And September seemed a good time to put it in the church year. Many of us have got off summer holidays, have maybe been out camping, at cottages, trips to the lakes, or just being outside more to appreciate God's world. Does anybody here know who Greta Thunberg is? Yes? You've heard a little bit about her lately? Thank you, on the news. She's that 16-year-old. Think of it, 16-year-old. She first started this when she was 15-year-old Swedish high school student and climate change activist. She was on the Trevor Noah show this past week, and when Trevor asked her if she saw any difference between her home country and Sweden and America regarding climate change, she said yes. At home, we regard climate change as a fact. Here in North America, you're still trying to decide. Wow. Do any of you get the Broadview magazine? Few of you? Thank you. It's the new name of the United Church Observer that has been around for years and years. Her picture is on the front of, I believe it was the September issue, and the words are, "The adults have failed us." Wow, the adults, that's you and me, have failed us. The article mentioned in October last year, the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, the United Nations body assessing the science of climate change, put a hard deadline on action to avoid a full-out sabotage of the environment at 12 years. It's not that long, you know. 12 years. 2030. Wow. That's kind of frightening. When asked why she thinks adults haven't taken this crisis seriously, do you know what her response was? Because you're not going to be around. Think of it. You're not going to be around. You're not going to have to face the consequences. We are the ones who are going to have to live with the full consequences of climate change. Climate refugees, heat waves, storms, floods, hurricanes, gigantic fires with an increased probability of war and conflict because of these things, and water scarcity. Wow. That sounds like a very bleak future. Almost apocalyptic. Now, Greta has spurred worldwide climate change protests, and September 20th to the 27th, which was just this past Friday, was Global Futures Week. I believe she also spoke to the U.S. Senate, did she not, this past week? A new movement has sprouted called Fridays for Future, and people are encouraged to strike on Fridays in a way you feel safe. March 15th, May 3rd, and this past Friday were all dates students organized to protest in front of the Ontario Legislature in peace or peaceful sit-ins at your Member of Parliament's office. Now, while when I went to their website, it didn't suggest dropping out of school, there were some interesting statements, because it is on Friday. Why study for a future which may not be there? Wow, think of these statements. Why spend a lot of time and effort to become educated when our governments are not listening to the educated? Wow. Again, think of those comments. It sounds a bit drastic. Why study for a future which may not be there? Yet that's how many younger people are feeling regarding climate change. What was your biggest fear growing up? Concern, anxiety. What? The atomic bomb. Anything else? Thank you. Absolutely. I was going to tell you I didn't want to hear about how your hair was or how you were going to ask that girl out on Friday, okay? Which were our big concerns growing up. But you're right, the atomic bomb. I know for me, atomic war. You know, a nuclear war. Well, for many of today's young people, it's climate change. How many of you like the United Church Creed? Does anybody here like the United Church Creed? I think it's wonderful, you know? We are not alone. We live in God's world. This is a tough question. Does anyone know what was the last line added to the creed in 1995? Wow! John gets an extra cup of coffee today and a gold star. You know? To live with respect in creation. Can we say that together, please? To live with respect in creation. In a little booklet, A New Creed, A Newcomer's Guide to the United Church, that I give out at baptism classes, it says this about to live with respect in creation. It is a reminder that human beings are not the center of the universe. That God loved and delighted in creation long before Homo sapiens appeared. And that God is present in every creature and every part of creation. And we're asked to give thanks for this world and to help take care of it. If I was to ask you, and I am asking you, to think about the creation stories in the Bible, what comes to mind?
Genesis.
Thank you, the book of Genesis. Anything else? Those creation stories, what comes to mind? How many days? Six, thank you. What happened on the seventh day? Day of rest. Thank you. We are here today. Who were the main characters? God, thank you. Who else? Adam, thank you. Eve, thank you. The serpent, thank you. Wow, awesome. Very, very good. Do you remember in the creation story we read this morning, who was created first? Or what was created first? The Word, thank you, that's John's Gospel. In Proverbs, what was created first? Thank you, wisdom. We are told that wisdom was created long before the world began. The Hebrew word is really hard to translate. It can mean work beside God like an architect or master worker, master builder. Another possible translation for that word is as a young child. Think of that, a young child. While Western European theology has given strong emphasis to the fallen condition of humanity, what boo-boo did Adam and Eve do?
Broke the rules.
Broke the rules. Thank you. What did they eat?
Piece of fruit.
Thank you. We often think of it as the apple. It's the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Okay. Wisdom literature, of which Proverbs 8 is a part, generally speaks of God's delight in humans and presents them as God's trusted creatures for whom God has high expectations. Imagine the difference it would make if we truly grasped that God joyfully delights in us, plays with us, beside us as a young child. What difference might it make in both the human psychic and our own? Now, another point I want to make about this third creation story is the huge impact it had on the early church's understanding of who Jesus was. 60 to 70 years after Jesus' death, resurrection, and ascension, they saw Jesus not only as a person who walked the earth, crucified, dead, and buried, who rose again on the third day, I think that's the Apostle Creed, ascended into heaven, but they also saw Jesus as a personification of this ancient figure of wisdom, or the cosmic Christ. Look how Jesus is described at the beginning of John's Gospel. John doesn't start with the infancy narratives of Matthew and Luke, okay, in a stable, shepherds, wise men, but rather begins with the idea of this word that was created with God before the world. Before the world was created, the Word already existed. He was with God and he was the same as God. Through him, God made all things. Not one thing in creation was made without him. Does that sound familiar? Because it's very similar to the description of wisdom. And then further on in that first chapter, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Now, the only difference is wisdom in the Old Testament is a feminine word in Hebrews. If you read the beginning of Proverbs 8, it says, "Listen, wisdom is calling out. At the crossroads, she stands. Beside the city gates, she calls." Imagine all the time we could have saved about inclusive language if we would have remembered wisdom, you know, as part of one of the first things that God created. Now, this similarity to wisdom is also seen in Colossians' description of the cosmic Christ. Christ is the visible likeness of the invisible God. He is the firstborn like wisdom. Through him, God created everything in heaven and on earth, things seen and unseen. What's your point now? Imagine for a moment if you didn't know the other two stories of creation. Imagine if that passage from Proverbs was the only creation story you knew, which sees an image of God, which they have called wisdom, as working side by side with you, with Jesus, with this ancient figure of wisdom. How do you understand this ancient figure of wisdom? As an aspect of God. Another name for Christ. A deep mystery at the core of the cosmos that is calling to you, inviting you to work alongside of God in the creation and to delight in its goodness and play like a little child. Wow. This picture, John, our house is on fire. This was the image that was the background when Greta Thunberg spoke on The Daily Show with Trevor Noah. It coincides with the New York Times insert in the Hamilton Spectator the beginning of September. It said, "Warmer earth, more fires. In South America, the Amazon is ablaze. Halfway around the world in Central Africa, vast stretches of the savannah are going up in flames. Arctic regions in Siberia are burning at a historic pace. And such fires present a double whammy to climate change. They not only release large amounts of carbon dioxide into the atmosphere, they kill the trees and other vegetation that removes climate warming emissions from the air. Higher temperatures, drier environments, easier for forest fires through lightning, and the fires tend to be larger. What can you do to help increase both the awareness and severity of climate change? What can you do to help take care of God's good earth, as we've been called to do? Have you noticed the signs starting to sprout up on the lawn? What's coming up? A federal election. Does anybody ever get candidates knocking on your door? Has anybody got some of those annoying phone calls? Do you get it? Now, I've been saying thanks, but no thanks. But I need to start talking with them. I need to mention to them about what is your party doing regarding climate change and express to them how that is a very deep concern to you. And then don't forget, after the election, regardless of who is elected, then follow up. And again, let your MP know, what are you doing about climate change? That way, if Greta Thunberg's picture is on a future edition of Broadview, rather than saying the adults have failed us, hopefully it will read the adults are with us. Thanks be to God. Amen. We're trying a new song today. It's out of the soft-covered Voices United. Each Blade of Grass, number 37, number 37. For most of you, you'll have to look at it on the screen. Each Blade of Grass. Please be seated. In time, I trust we'll get to know it, because certainly through the description of all those things, we know the beauty of God. Your offering today helps the church to be proactive about people's needs, both locally and globally. Please visit both Appleby United Churches and the United Church of Canada's website to learn more. We now have our morning's offering to support our work locally and in the world. Amen.
is wherever God's people are helping, working for neighbor in sickness and need. The church is wherever God's people are sharing the words of the Bible in gift and in need.
Let us pray. All that exists is yours, great God. Now we give a portion to your church to continue doing your work in the world. Take these gifts and use them, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen. Please be seated.
Now this morning, our pastoral prayer is going to be a little different. It's going to be based on Psalm 148, a call for the universe to praise God. How many of you remember the song, He's got the whole world in his hands. How many remember that from camp and all those things? Well, the refrain today, if you follow along on the screen and in the Bible, are various verses from that song. So I guess we'll just keep our eyes forward and we will go from there. And you are the bold. So you're bold, so shout it out with vigor and enthusiasm. Go ahead. Hallelujah. Praise the Holy One from the heavens. Sing praises in the highest heights above.
Sing praises, all holy angels, all the heavenly hosts. Praise the holy name.
He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the big round world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. Sun and moon, sing praises.
Sing praises, all bright stars.
Sing praises, you heaven of heavens.
And you waters above the heavens.
Praise the Holy One's name.
The one whose man
created them all and fixed their orbits forever, ever, by a law which shall never be broken. He's got the wind and the rain in his hands. He's got the sun and the moon in his hands. He's got the wind and the rain in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. Praise the Holy One from the earth, sea monsters and ocean depths.
Fire and hail, snow and smoke.
Mountains and all hills. Wild beasts and cattle.
Reptiles and winged birds.
He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the big round world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. Praise the Holy One, world rulers and all peoples.
Leaders and judges.
Young men, young women.
Old and young together.
He's got you and me, brother, in his hands. He's got the big round world in his hands. He's got you and me, sister, in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. Let them praise your name, O Holy One, for your name alone is exalted. Your majesty covers heaven and earth. You have lifted up your people's horns, praise from all your faithful ones, from Israel, those close to your heart. Hallelujah. He's got everybody in his hands. He's got the big round world in his hands. He's got everybody
In his hands, he's got the whole world in his hands.
Let us now join together in the vision that Jesus taught us to say. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let us now join together in our closing hymn, number 229, God of the Sparrow, number 229.
God of the sparrow, God of the whale, God of the swirling stars, how does the creature say all? How does the creature say praise? God of the earthquake, God of the storm, God of the trumpet blast, creature cries, save. God of the rainbow, God of the cross, God of the empty grave, how does the creature say grace? How does the creature say thanks? God of the hungry, God of the sick, God of the prodigal, how does the creature say care? How does the creature say life? God of the neighbor, God of the foe, God of the pruning hole, how does the creature say the creature say peace? God of the ages, God near at hand, how does your children say no? How do your children say joy?
How do your children say
all? Creator Spirit, the Cosmic Christ, and Sophia, Holy Wisdom, are present all around us, all the time. Know them, feel them, let them breathe into your life, and let them help you and take care of you as you go out into the world with wisdom and compassion as your guide.